Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Well, good afternoon. Today is August the 9th, and we are in John, the book of John.
What was the emphasis on 9?
I don't know. I just thought maybe because we're in August. We're finally in August.
Okay, I thought there was
There's been a lot of new stuff going on.
Something special.
Well, you know.
August the 9th.
I was really excited about that one. It's not an anniversary or anything, but I just thought,
Hey, you're just a happy guy today.
I was just trying to bring a little excitement into our podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, I'll take it.
So it is August the 9th, and we are here talking about the book of John, but we are in the book of John.
And,
we started last week, John chapter 1, and we got introduced to John the Baptist this week.
Yeah.
And I think if there's one person I would want to hang out with, I think it would be John the Baptist.
You wouldn't. You say that.
He was kind of a wild guy. Like I kind of think
he was very much a wild guy.
I think that I would enjoy that.
Okay.
Now I don't know if I'd want to eat some of the things he ate, but I think I'd want to hang out with him for a bit.
Yeah, you would if the Spirit of God was working in your heart.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Then you'd say yes to John the Baptist.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll prepare for the coming of the Messiah.
That's right.
I'll be baptized. Yeah,
that's right. So, with that, give us a little outline from Sunday about the sermon. You walked it through 3 days with John introducing Jesus to the world. So,
the first chapter really of mm-hmm. John, Gospel of John gives us, maybe I would say it in the terms of three introductions, mm-hmm. although John the Baptist comes into play, but I'm not going to count him as one of the introductions because he's the introducer.
Yeah.
But the first one is the writer John introduces us to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way the gospel opens. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he describes the Word, and then he says the Word became flesh and dwelt mm-hmm. among us, and then he names him, and his name is Jesus Christ. So the second introduction is John the Baptist, not John the writer of the gospel, but John the Baptist, so-called because he baptized people. And then he takes Jesus further in the introduction and introduces Jesus to us as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and as the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So then the third introduction, which is what we'll get to next week, is the introduction of the first disciples of Jesus and their first steps into discipleship. But anyway, so this week we were on that second one, and the text was about John the Baptist introducing Jesus to us, to the Jews who were coming to him to be baptized, through them and the writing of John to the world. And then now here we are, 2,000 years mm-hmm. later almost, he's introduced him to us. So Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and the one who baptizes with the Spirit. And of course, the Lamb of God, all the Jews would have understood that, who heard it, because they're going back to, the Exodus mm-hmm. experience, the Passover Lamb. They're going back to the problem, maybe even thinking about Abraham before that, offering up Isaac, but then Isaac was spared and there was a sacrifice provided by God, and then skip beyond past the Exodus and you're into Isaiah. And he's talking about the suffering servant who is like a lamb slaughtered, mm-hmm. bearing our sins. So they would have gotten that lamb image. And so when John says, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, of course, they're going to pay attention and say, what's this about?
Yeah.
And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is also an Old Testament prophecy, Ezekiel prophesying that.
Yeah. Good. So a couple of maybe questions. One, I want to start with, you were in the beginning of the sermon, mm-hmm. and really because the beginning of the text, John the Baptist is constantly saying what he is not.
Yeah.
And then who Christ is.
Yeah.
So this idea of John understanding, I'm not, but Christ is, and we kind of think about our own life, Scott. We live in a world where obviously it's maybe tempting. We can struggle with placing too much hope in ourselves or in other people. Mm-hmm. But John the Baptist had this understanding of, okay, I'm not, they're not, Jesus is. So the question that I would love just to kind of talk through today is, how can that help us out in the world if we had this constant understanding as we think of like Messiah, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
who is supreme, okay, I'm not or they're not, but Christ is. Like, yeah. how can that help us live in yeah. relation to others? How can that help us, you know, in our joy and confidence as Christians? Like, talk about that a little
yeah.
bit.
All right. Remind me of the question because okay. I'm gonna back up.
Okay.
And I'm gonna answer a question that somebody might be asking, and, okay. and that is, why make such a big deal out of John the Baptist saying he's not?
Yeah.
And it's a simple reason, because the text does.
Yeah.
So let me just read to you again, okay? So there were some Jews sent, the priests and the Levites, and they say, who are you? And then just listen to John the Baptist's language. He says, he confessed, he did not deny, he confessed, I am not the Christ. So he just, you know, they came to ask him, who are you? And he is the one who started out. He didn't say, oh, my name is John.
Right.
You know, he started out by saying, I'm not the Christ. Mm-hmm. So he's the one that's emphasizing what is not. Not, you know, not me. He did it. And then they ask, well, are you Elijah? And he says, I'm not. You know, are you the prophet? No. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, there's three denials right there.
Right. Yeah.
In the best of senses. He's mm-hmm. there's three denials. He's yeah. not the Christ. He's not the yeah. prophet. He's not Elijah. So that was, anyway, just want to say that, but to say, you know, we're not just making a big point out of nothing.
The text brings it up.
The text brings it up. All right. So the question was, why is it important to know yeah. who's not and
yeah.
who is?
Yeah, I understand there could be a negative way, like, you know, like I call it the Eeyore of Winnie the Pooh, like, I'm not, you know, yeah. and yeah. being sad all the time. But there's understanding of putting ourselves in the right place.
That's
in
right.
regards to Jesus.
Yeah.
So how can that help us, yeah. again, with ourselves, but I'm thinking too, Scott, of other people who we may be tempted, who may be good people, but we may place too much hope in. Yeah.
I think it's very important for us to get our minds uh-huh. fixed on who is not and who is. Jesus okay. is, everybody else is not, or yeah. no one else is.
Yeah.
That's very important for these reasons. One, if we spend our lives looking for human heroes uh-huh. to join the fan club and to follow everything they say, we're going to miss Jesus.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
only one Messiah.
Yeah.
There's only one Savior. There's only one who is always right,
mm-hmm.
and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
And we do not want to miss him by fixing our hope on humans. Another reason it's important to know that is because our human mentors and leaders mm-hmm. Can be wrong.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to say when they are.
Yeah.
And if we think there's some form of Savior or Messiah, we won't criticize them. We yeah. won't say, well, that's not correct.
Right.
You see, now we're not even walking in the truth.
Yeah.
Because we're so afraid of criticizing someone. Another reason to do that, to know who's not and who is so that when our leaders disappoint us,
mm-hmm.
our faith isn't shaken.
Right.
You know, I have people that I have quoted sometimes here at Grace, and I don't go around quoting people all the time. One of the reasons I don't is for this very purpose. Mm-hmm. I don't want to
elevate me too high.
Exactly. Right. I don't yeah. want to put people on a pedestal.
Yeah.
But I do have people that I quote, and you know, that have helped me over the years. People I have read, and I don't mind saying who they are. But you know, the question is, well, what about their flaws? Mm-hmm. You know, what if one of them failed miserably?
Yeah.
My faith wouldn't be shaken.
Right.
You know, my faith and hope is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think we need to be really clear in mm-hmm. our minds, and then once we're clear, now we can appreciate people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I appreciate the people mm-hmm. that I have benefited from in my Christian life and in my study as a pastor, but I can benefit from them most if I'm very clear that they are not the Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are not the chosen. Yeah. They are not always right. They yeah. don't even come close to comparing
yeah.
with Jesus.
Yeah.
But the main reason, as I said at the beginning, is because I don't want to miss Jesus.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to keep my eyes fixed on the true hope, which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Because I think too, Scott, it can help is if we live in the world of putting too much hope in ourselves or other people, mm-hmm. that we may listen more there than we would maybe listen to Christ.
That's right.
And which is what you get to, which is the missing the Jesus point.
That's right.
And it's like, oh, well what does Christ say? Oh, yeah. I haven't really listened to Jesus in a while.
That's right.
And
so, so John the Baptist is the one who denied that he's the Christ. Well, mm-hmm. John had followers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see next week that two of John's followers left John to go follow Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to see later in John, just a few chapters later, when some of the people who are still following John want to know what John thinks about all the people going after Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And John the Baptist rejoices that they're going after Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the famous line, he must increase, I must decrease.
Yeah.
That's why it was so important for John the Baptist to know that he wasn't the Christ.
Yeah.
So that he wouldn't cling to people.
Yeah.
To be his followers. He wouldn't cling to his his fan base.
Yeah.
He just willingly gave them up.
Yeah.
So they're not supposed to be following me anyway.
Yeah.
They're following, they are the bride going to the bridegroom. Let's rejoice in that.
Right.
Again, that's a few chapters away, but
yeah, still. Well, okay, so to follow up the question.
Yeah.
So obviously you said there's it's totally fine to appreciate others and mm-hmm. as you said, but is there anything that you would say maybe as you've experienced in your own life or seen it, is like when it becomes, okay, that's a warning sign maybe I'm putting too much hope in myself or someone else. Like what are some signs of that?
Well, when you stop thinking for yourself, when you stop thinking, okay, what is the scripture? How does the scripture come to bear on my conscience
mm-hmm.
versus how do I make sure I stay in step with so-and-so?
Yeah.
That's a warning sign.
Yeah.
You know, when you start catching yourself thinking that way,
yeah,
you need to really back up and say, time out. You know, Jesus is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible holds sway over my conscience.
Yeah.
Fighting.
Yeah.
You know, fighting would be one. I mean, you know, we find today in our in the culture, people are fighting over which pastor they follow more than the other.
Yeah.
You know, we almost pit people against each other that we don't even know.
Yeah.
Why? Because I think because we're setting our hopes on being a part of a fan club or being a part of a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go for the truth. Let's go for the truth of the gospel. Yeah. Let's go for the truth of the Word of God. Yeah. We've got the Word of God.
Yeah. Which is encouraging. It goes back to what you said at the very beginning of the podcast, which is there's only one that's always right.
Right.
Which should be so encouraging to us
because
that's where we can place all of our hope mm-hmm. because he's never wrong.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I'm not naive. So I do know that people who follow Jesus, declare Jesus as Lord, understand his true identity and that no one else is Lord. And they do want to hear his words and approach the scripture faithfully. They're still going to disagree. I get that. So I'm not naive to think all of our problems go away. But I will say that one of our problems
mm-hmm.
is that we haven't gotten square in our minds
mm-hmm.
that no man mm-hmm. is the Christ and that only one is, and his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
And there's our loyalty.
Yeah. Yeah. So now let's end here. So when John the Baptist sees Jesus and begins to describe him mm-hmm. in these verses that we saw on Sunday, he is referring to him as the forgiver of sins
mm-hmm.
and the filler of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that, or how is that a good summary statement
mm-hmm.
of the Christian life?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that such a good summary statement? Just that two things, forgiver of sin, filler of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those, for a lot of reasons, we can start in the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
and we can say that, you know, when the Lord was preparing his people, all along the way for the coming of the Messiah, different points, different things, different signs pointing to him, different shadows in the Old Testament pointing to the substance that's Christ. And then there's some prophecies. So he said, you know, Isaiah prophesied the Lamb of God. There's another prophecy like in Ezekiel, and it says that God's going to make a covenant, actually says a new covenant with his people. So in other words, there's going to come a day when based on the coming of this one, that it'll be a new era, a new season, a new relationship with God that will include people from every nation. And the way that relationship is going to work is that God, by his grace, is going to cleanse people of their sins. and then he's going to put a new heart in them, giving them his very spirit to be in them. So there's the two aspects in Ezekiel 36, the two aspects of this new covenant or this new relationship that's going to include people from every tribe and tongue and nation is forgiveness of sins, cleansing, and the new life that comes from the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit living in within so that we will obey God happily and joyfully. All right? So those two things, cleansing and the Spirit, are what it means to relate to God through Christ, and they're the benefits that Christ brings to us. And if you think about them, they're the very things that we actually have to relate to God. We have to be cleansed because no sin can be in the presence of God. But then we have to be made new and made spiritually alive by the Spirit so that we can relate to God in that kind of relationship, calling Him Abba Father and being His children, born again. So, I mean, that's sums it up in many respects. Now, there's a lot of outworkings, or maybe I should say a lot of other blessings, a lot of other aspects of what it means to be a Christian. But they typically can come back to these two new covenant blessings.
Yeah. Good. Well, great sermon from John chapter 1. So any teasers for where we're heading next?
So we were introduced to the Word in the first part of chapter 1. The Word made flesh, and then we've been introduced to Jesus, the Lamb of God, and the who takes away sins, and the one who baptizes with the Spirit. And then the third part of the first chapter of John is we're going to be introduced to his disciples, his early disciples.
Yeah.
So we're going to focus a little bit more on taking those first steps into discipleship, into being a follower of Jesus Christ.
Great. Well, look forward to it. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks.